Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material access by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will commence 18 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Chof. At the end of the line, you will notice an expression, V'horoitev. This is a quote from the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek. It was mentioned at the beginning of the Perek that different parts of a, we'll call it a dish, of a food that is cooking up in a pot, are mitzaref to the food to create a quantity necessary for tumas ochlin. In general, tumas ochlin is when you have a kibetza amount of food, so we say then that food is capable, if it in fact is tamei, of transferring tuma to other food. Amongst the different items mentioned were roitev. So the topic that will be discussed right now in the Gemara, and we have this listed under our Nosei topic heading that you find in the outside margin, one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of our Gemara marking system, is the topic heading that you find when necessary in the outside margin, as well as notes concerning the structure that we title Mivneh. In this case, we have a very brief title for this sugya called My Roitev. What is meant by Roitev? So in the Gemara, as we turn to the Gemara itself, we will notice there are two opinions, and we've labeled them one and two as we go on in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, My Roitev, Omar Rava, Shumna. To understand Shumna, we look at the Rashi, third line from the top, Shuman Sha'al Hamorok. This would be an accumulation of fats or oils that come from the meat as it's cooking up. Omar Rava asks, if you're defining roitev that's found in the Mishnah as shumna, so I should be more accurate. Abaye asks, Omar le Abaye, hu atzmo yitmo tumas ochlin. Shumna itself, the fats that accumulate at the top of a soup that's cooking up, that itself would have the status of food, even without us needing to attach it to consider it a part of other food. And yet our Mishnah talks about different items that are mitzaref with food, that are mitzaref, that means they attach themselves or can be added or considered a part of basic food in order to complete the necessary quantity, indicating that the item itself per se is not actual food. But if you're going to define roitev as shumna, that is actual food. So you wouldn't need it. It wouldn't be something that you would view as attaching itself to other real food. Elo, rather, chelev dekoresh. Rashi explains, chelev dekoresh, lecho hayotze min abosor shikoren, and he gives you a French word. This would be some type of exusion that comes forth from meat, maybe a jelly-like substance that exudes from meat, that koresh means congealed. The Gemara asks, my ire koresh, why, in order to view it as something mitzaref to ochlin, why do you have to have it congealed? Ki lo koresh nami, even if it's not congealed, it still is capable of being considered something, a part of a basic food, I mean, in other words, added to a food in order to mashal mashir, the Omar Reish Lakish, tsir sha'al gabi yerek, the brine that's found on vegetables, mitzarif le kakoseves biyom hakipurim, is considered something that is added to the vegetable to complete the quantity known as a koseves, a date-sized quantity, which if eaten on Yom Kippur would be a violation of the rules of Yom Kippur. So we see from Reish Lakish's halacha that even if something is in a liquidy form, namely it's not koresh, it still is something that's mitzaref with food to complete the necessary requirement for violation, as is the case in Yom Kippur. The Gemara answers that there's a difference. Hasam, the standard that generates violation with regard to Yom Kippur, Mishum Yisuvi Daitahu, it's a function of creating a sense of calmness as a result of eating, so a person feels a sense of satisfaction. Yishuv Hadas, in Aramaic it's Yisuvi Daita. Becholduhu Meisva Daite. Even without it being actual solid type food, one can still achieve Yishuv Hadas. And what we mean here is a combination of the oichlim and mashkin, a combination of the basic vegetable, as is the case with Reish Lakish's halacha b'Yom Kippur, and the brine that's on it. However, hocha, in our Mishnah, we are not dealing with yishuv hadas, but rather we're dealing with standards concerning defining oichlim and quantities of oichlim, of food as opposed to beverage. So, hocha mishum itzterufihu. Here we're dealing with itzterufi, joining up of different items. And tziruf is accomplished only when you have solid combined with solid. In other words, food substance with food substance, or quasi-food substance, as opposed to food and beverage, or food and drink, food and liquid. Therefore, since our mission is dealing with tziruf for the purpose of establishing tumas ochlin, ikorish mitzarif, if the chaylev has congealed, then we say it's mitzarif with the basic food, the basic meat that's there. E lo korish, if it hasn't congealed, lo mitzarif, then there isn't a joining together. So what we've done is created a distinction between Yom Kippur, which is judged by the Yishuv Hadas standard, and our Mishnah, which is judged by the Tziruf standard in order to complete a quantity of food substance. The Hakipah, the Mishnah also mentioned that Kippah is mitztaref with the meat to create Tumas Ochlin. My Kippah. Once again, we'll have two Pshatim. The first, Omar Rova, Pirma. Pirma is described as call it filings or food that's in a shredded state. Omar le Abaye, hu atzmo yitmo tumas ochlin. If you're talking about shredded meat, little strands of meat, an accumulation of strands of filings of shredded meat, then it itself is food, and it itself would warrant being labeled if it's labeled capable of transmitting tumas ochlin. Why does the Mishnah teach kippah only in the context of it attaching itself to other food, indicating that it itself is not viewed as food? Elo Omar Rav Papa, rather Rav Papa says tavlin. Kippah that's referenced to in the Mishnah is a reference to spices in and of themselves. So spices in and of themselves are not ochlin. It's not considered a foodstuff. However, if the tavlin are joined together with the foodstuff, so then it will mashlim, it will complete the shi'ur for tumas ochlin, achieving of the minimum amount of foodstuff necessary for communicating tumas ochlin. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a structure, a geometric form, the diamond appears, one of our many different series markings. In the outside margin, we also provide our topic heading, in this case combined with the structural note, the nosei mivneh. You'll notice we have a diamond featured, and we explain makoros. We will see in this Gemara sources, be'inyan, chelev, chometz, and oif, nevelas of tor, she'im hemisam, v'gom om chayov. We'll talk about fats, chometz. Chometz is, of course, of Pesach fame, and bird. In this case, we'll talk about dead kosher variety bird. We could, for simplicity, we'll talk about dead chicken meat. Each one of these, chelev, chometz, and oif, if they have been liquefied and then swallowed in their liquid state, that would generate the same penalty or the same outcome as if they were in their solid food state. The Gemara will be interested in knowing what is the source for this phenomena, for this legal outcome. Tanan hosam. Hikpo es hadam v'ochlo, if a person solidified, had congealed blood and ate it. Blood, of course, is one of the forbidden food items in the Torah. Oy shehimcha sachelev v'gomo chayav. Or he dissolved or melted chelev. Chelev is a forbidden substance that's found in different parts of an animal. Chelev itself carries with it if one eats chelev, it carries with it the kores penalty. In this case, he liquefied the chelev and then swallowed it. He is considered in violation. So we have 2 points here. We have the congealed blood and the liquefied chelev. Bishlamo hikpo esa dam v'ochlo. That I understand, that if he solidified the dam, the blood, and ate it, kevon de'akpe, since he troubled himself in congealing it, achshuve achshuve, he is thereby granting it significance, and hence consuming it is going to result in violation. However, elohim chasachele v'gomo, however, the dissolving of chelev and then swallowing it, achilo ksivo be v'holav achilo hi. The Torah speaks about eating, the eating of chelev, the act of achilo, and swallowing liquefied chelev, the Gemara feels, is not an act of eating. Omar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish answers Omar Kro Nefesh. In the pasuk dealing with the prohibition of chelev, you see the word nefesh. Lerabois is a shoyse. This comes to include someone who drinks it. The Tosfos points out that why is it that we need a special pasuk reference to include drinking when we know from other sources that achila is called, or shtia is known as bichlal achila, that drinking is a subcategory of eating. So Tosfos answers, drinking is a subcategory of eating when you're dealing with items that are designed for drinking, like wine. However, something that's not designed for drinking, for example, fats, we need to have a special source to tell me that the drinking of that, too, is considered a form of eating. The Gemara goes on. Tanyo nami gabi chometz. We have a similar Tanaic source in the context of chometz. Ki hai gavno, likewise, we learned by the chelev. Himcho v'gomo. A person liquefied and then swallowed chometz. Im chometz hu onosh kores. If we're talking about it having become chometz, fermented. In other words, you have a grain product, grains, something like beer, for example, that was allowed to ferment, and you drank it on Pesach, that will result in the chometz penalty, which suffers a punishment of kores. Im matzohi, if, however, let's say someone took some grains and liquefied them, and they had not fermented till that point, and he drank, we'll call liquefied grains on Pesach, ein adam yotzei bo yedei chavasu b'pesach, he won't thereby fulfill his matzah requirement. So bishlamo im matzohi ein adam yotzei bo yedei chavasu b'pesach, as far as liquefied grains and consuming that in its liquefied form on Pesach and being told that you do not fulfill your matzah eating requirements, then I understand. Lechem oini, Omar Rachmona, v'haidlav lechem oini hu. The Torah has an expectation that I eat the bread of oni, the oni bread, without translating the word oni, that we would spend more time in Maseches Pesachim, but for our purposes, it's not bread. Ela, bread, of course, we mean bread in the context of a baked good. Ela, im chometz u'anush kores. But the other point that was mentioned here, that if you drank a fermented grain product on Pesach, it results in a penalty of kores. Why? Achila ksiva bei. The Torah mentions the prohibition of eating chametz, not the drinking of chametz. So why does this source teach us that the drinking, the consumption of liquefied chametz, will result in a kores penalty? Omar Reish Lakish, Omar Kro. Reish Lakish answers, like we just saw before. The pasuk says nefesh, and that word is there l'rabois es ha-shoise. It comes to include the drinking of chametz. Therefore, the drinking of a grain-based beer on Pesach would result in a kores penalty. The Tanya Nami Gabi Nevelas of Tohor Hi Hai Gavnon. Likewise, in the context of the body, the corpse of a dead kosher variety bird, a dead chicken that was not slaughtered, will be treated the same way as follows. Of course, let's point out ahead of time that when it comes to the prohibition of eating dead chicken, we're not going to be talking in terms of the kores penalty. It does not carry with it a kores penalty, but we will be focusing on the problem of it communicating tumah. It may be mentioned that in general, if one eats dead chicken, tumah will be achieved not by the touching of it, as is the case with dead animal meat, but rather during the eating of it will there be tumah absorbed by the person. The source says, himcheu, if a person liquefied the dead chicken, b'ur tameh, if he liquefied it using fire, and then he consumes this liquefied bird meat, he will become tameh. B'chamo, if it was let to sit in the sun and through the heat of the sun, it then liquefied and drank that, he would be tohar. It would not result in his becoming tomei. V'havinon ba, and we ask, achila ksiv bei. The Torah speaks about achila, eating. The eating, the act of eating, the velas of tohar, become resulting in tumah, but here he's drinking it. Omer Reish Lakish, Omer Kro, nefesh. Once again, Reish Lakish gives us the same answer as before. The pasuk says nefesh l'rabos es ha-shoyse, to include the drinking. So that the Torah says, in addition to the eating, the drinking of liquefied nevelas of tor will also result in tumah. By the way, as far as our markings are concerned, we dot underline this expression l'rabos es ha-shoyse to give the feeling of structure in the sugya, and we had this dot underlining three times till now. The Gemara continues, "I hachi bechamo nami." If the Torah says nefesh to include the drinking, so then why is it that if it's liquefied in the sun, it does not result in tuma? Answer: Bechamo isruchi misrach. That which is left in the sun to liquefy, melt, is considered something that is rancid, soured, and hence the consumption of that is like consuming something that is of no food significance whatsoever. It loses its food identity, and therefore it's not significant enough to result in tumah. However, something that's liquefied in the fire, simply because of its changed physical state, that alone does not change its halachic outcome of becoming a source of tumah. The Gemara now goes on by saying Utsrichi, and we have noted here a long point. You can see there's a nun that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines of Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line constitute this point. Now, what's the point? You'll notice in the outside margin under our topic heading, we call this a tatnose, a subtopic. Tzrichusa, we have written. Tzrichusa means necessity. Loma tzrichin kol mekoros hanal velo lomdim echod mehasheni. The Gemara will explain why I need to have three separate sources to communicate this idea that even though they have been liquefied, they still retain their original legal status. Why was it necessary to teach three separate cases? Would it not have been sufficient to teach one as a precedent setter and then derive the other two from it? The Gemara will eventually say that, listen, there are significant differences between the cases, therefore by stating one, I could not figure the other two. However, could it not be achieved, could not the conclusion be achieved by stating two of the three cases and then having a third one derived? That too, the Gemara will say, is not possible. All of this is included in the long point that we are about to learn. The Gemara continues. We say, once again, Utsrichi, I need each one of the cases of Chelev, Chometz, and Oif. Ti'i Kosav Rachmana Chelev, had the Torah taught me only about the Chelev, the liquefied Chelev, results in the Kores penalty, as if it were solid Chelev. Well, Chometz lo osimine, Chometz could not be derived. Shekein lo hoysolo shasa kosher. Chometz was something that is different. Chometz is different than the Chelev in that the Chometz was once allowed, whereas the Chelev was something that never had a Shasa Kosher, was something that was never allowed. So it could be that something like that, that was never allowed, is something, even when liquefied, results in a penalty of Kares. However, Chometz, which before Pesach was something that was allowed, maybe it's not as severe an issue. And therefore, when liquefied, Chometz would not result in a Kores penalty. Nevela lo osi mine. Similarly, Nevela would not result from us teaching concerning Chelev. Shekein onush Kores. Chelev, as opposed to Nevela, Chelev is severe. It carries with it the severe Kores penalty, which is not the case by Nevela. So, once again, by having stated that Chelev in liquefied form results in the same original penalty as if in solid form, I wouldn't know that to be the case by Nevela, which is a less severe issue. And therefore it could be that when the Nevela is liquefied, it loses all connection to its original solid food state. The E Kosav Rachmona Chometz, had the Torah stated this, the halach of liquefied Chometz being like the original, well, Chelev lo osimine, Chelev could not be derived from that. Shekein lo huter michlolo, Chometz is something more severe than Chelev in the sense that Chometz was never something that once forbidden is considered mutter. As opposed to Chelev, which even though it's considered a forbidden substance, there is an exception when dealing with Chelev, where Chelev itself is actually mutter. This will be discussed later in the Gemara. Likewise, Unevela, lo osi mine, Nevela would not be able to be derived from having stated Chometz. Shekein onush Kores. Chometz is more severe. It carries with it a Kores penalty, which is not the case by Nevela. The Ikosav Rachmona b'Nevela, had the Torah written that Nevela in liquefied form is similar to it in solid form, Well, Hanoch lo asio mine shekein mitama. Chometz and chalev could not possibly be derived from nevela, because nevela alone communicates tumah, as opposed to chometz and chalev, which do not. So up till this point, we've pointed out that by stating one of the above mentioned three examples, the other two could not be derived. Chado mechado lo asio. One could not be derived by having stated one. In other words, like we just said, by stating one, any one of the others could not be derived. However, we want to suggest now, tesi chara mitarti. Could it not be suggested that one could be derived from stating two? In other words, instead of the Torah troubling itself to state the three examples, would it not be sufficient for two of the examples to be taught, and I could then save ink, so to speak, and derive the third one on my own through logic? Well, the Gemara says, hey, Tesi, which one should be derived? Which, in other words, means which one should not be stated. Let's go through the different possibilities. Let the Torah not state the halacha of liquefied nevela and derive it from liquefied chalev and chometz. No, ma'la hanoch shekein onush kores. Chalev and chometz are more severe than nevela, and therefore, and that is in the sense that they carry with them a kores penalty, and it could very well be as a result of that only they, in liquefied form, carry with it, or they do not lose their original solid state. However, nevela, which does not carry with it a kores penalty, maybe when liquefied, it won't be capable of communicating tumah anymore as it had been while solid. Lo lichtoy v'rachmona v'chometz. Maybe let the Torah leave out the scriptural reference to chometz. V'teisei mehanoch, and on my own I would derive it from chalev and nevela. So the Gemara says, Ma lahanoch shekein lo hoysolen shas hakosher. I could not derive chometz from chalev and nevela, because chalev and nevela are items that did not have a point in time that they were previously allowed, which is not the case by chometz, which did have a point in time when, prior to the onset of Pesach, the chometz was allowed. Loi lichtoiv rachmona b'chelev v'teisei mehanoch. Let the Torah remain silent with regard to chelev, and let me derive the din of liquefied chelev from chometz and nevela. No, ma lahanoch shekein lo hoysa lo hutor michlolon. I could not possibly derive chometz and nevela from chelev, because they, chometz and chelev, don't have this characteristic of being hutur michlolon, toimar bechelev shehutur michlolo, as opposed to chelev, which did experience or is characterized as having an allowance, even though as a general category it's forbidden. Umay ninhu, what do you mean by hutur michlolo by chelev, which would be a sign of leniency with regard to chelev, that's not the case by chometz and nevela? At this point in the Gemara, we have a mivne note. We see triangles that appear, and on the outside margin, we explain that the triangles are shlavim, stages, bebirur, my hutur michlolo b'chelev. We're trying to establish, we're trying to clarify, what do you mean that there is a specific point of leniency or of allowance with regard to chelev, even though it is a general category of prohibition? So the Gemara goes on and says, "Ilemo chelev behema l'gavoa." If you are going to suggest that, we know that when you offer a sacrifice, the chelev that's found inside a slaughtered sacrificial animal is offered to the Almighty, l'gavoa, to the Almighty on the mizbeach. So we see that chelev is allowed to be offered on the mizbeach. Well, if that's your basis for saying that chelev is different, well, it's not. Nevelo nami ishtaroi malikas oif l'gavoa. As far as a purist approach to Neveila, when you offer a bird sacrifice, you actually do not do formal slaughtering to it, but rather you do a malika action, which is a breaking of its neck through the insertion of the Kohen's thumbnail into the back of its head. That, if it weren't in the Beis HaMikdash, would be basically killing it, not slaughtering, and that would be a nevela. And yet, as part of the sacrificial service, that is the way it's offered. So you are, in effect, offering nevela lagavoa. That's the way you offer a bird offering. So that chelev would not be considered different, having a unique aspect to it, if the uniqueness were its being allowed to the Almighty as a sacrifice, because that characteristic is present by Nevela as well. And we're looking for a difference that Chelev has, making it different than Chometz and Nevela. V'ela, so what is the difference? What is the Huter Michlolo that we find by Chelev? Chelev Chayo Lehedyoit. The commoner, the hedyot, a commoner as opposed to a sacrifice, a commoner has a right to eat the chelev found in an undomesticated kosher variety animal, as opposed to a behema, which is a domesticated kosher variety animal like cows, sheep, and goats. If you have chelev, you find chelev inside a deer, which is an animal that is not domesticated, that is allowed to be eaten. So maybe that's the Huter Michlolo that Chelev has, as opposed to Chometz and Nevela. The Gemara, though, responds, Nevela nami ishtaroi malika dechatos oif lekoihanim. We know that a Kohen, a person, he's a Kohen, he's allowed to eat the chatos, the sin bird offering, a sin offering brought as a bird, a Kohen is allowed to eat it. So we see that just like a person eats chelev of a chaya, so too we have a Kohen who eats nevela, the malika of a chata sa'of. The Gemara says, li'olam chelev chay lehedyo. The truth is that the unique feature of huter mechlolo that we find by chelev and not by nevela nor chometz is this aspect of eating chayo chelev. And then you'll ask, well, but we see that Kohanim eat Nevela, and therefore maybe Chelev is not something unique. The Gemara answers, Kohanim Yishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. It's not as if the Kohen has a direct allowance in eating the Chatosov, but rather the Kohanim consumption of Chatosov, which is a form of Nevela, is really an outgrowth or a byproduct of it being offered La Govoha. So it's not considered Huter Lehedyot. It's not something considered that is allowed especially to a commoner. It is basically something that was brought as a sacrifice, Lagavoa, and as a byproduct of that, the Kohen is allowed, has a right to eat it. But Chelev is directly allowed to the commoner, and making Chelev, therefore, something unique, something different than Chometz and Nevela, and hence, by stating Chometz and Nevela, I would not have been able to derive the idea of liquefied Chelev as well. Therefore, it was necessary to state all three cases, chelev, chometz, and oif, and nevela sof, and the halacha that their liquefied form will generate the same halachic outcome as in their original solid form. At this point in the Gemara, we notice some new markings, and we glance at the outside margin. We see the nosei, mivneh feature that shows an aleph through hay in a house shape. These letterings or numberings will appear along the right-hand side of the Gemara text as you continue from the bottom of our omed till Kuf Chof Omed Beis. You'll notice letters in house forms. These are explained as makoros. We'll see Tanaic sources introduced. Shamashutaf lahem, the common point, the different sources that we will see is mashkin hayotz midvarim shonim. We'll be seeing a discussion concerning liquids that come forth, that exude from or produced from different items. And we'll see the use of a double underline to introduce the sources underlining the expression of v'ha desanya or v'ha desnan, introducing Tanaic sources. We now turn to the Gemara. V'ha desanya. We have the following Tanaic source, a short source. You can see it's in a frame. And this source opens up with the topic of shrutzim. Shrutzim are creatures that are forbidden for one to eat. And the Torah uses the word ha-temeim. We've squiggled under the hay because the drosha that is coming from this word is basically coming from the letter hey that's added to the word hatmeim, le'esor tziron v'roifon v'kipo shalehen. Not only is the basic creature, the sheretz creature, forbidden for one to eat, but the tzir, roitev, and kipo is also forbidden to eat. Now these expressions, tzir, brine, roitev, a type of gravy, and kipo, as a term we discussed earlier in today's shiur, these are all forbidden. So the Gemara is now going to ask, why is it that we have a special gzeiras hakosev to forbid, for example, the tzir, the liquid that comes from the shrotzim? Lama li, why do I need a special gzeiras hakosev? Ligmar mehani, could I not learn from the cases of chalev, chametz, and nevela? Just like those things in their liquefied form are forbidden, so too, in the case of the shrutzim, the liquids that come forth from them are also forbidden. The Gemara answers, no, I couldn't have learned the din of the liquids from the shrutzim from the aforementioned cases. Tzrichi. De'i lo, tzrichi means the Torah has to tell us about shrotzim on their own. De'i lo kosav rachmona, had the Torah not written the extra letter hatmeim by shrotzim, havi amino, I would have thought dayo labo min hadin lios kanidon. If I were left to learn the din of the liquid from shrotzim from the case of the chometz, chelev, and nevela, I would have said that let it be that the derivative is no more stringent than the source. Ma hosam adi kukazayas. Just like there in the case of chelev, chometz, and nevela, there is no violation until you consume an aleph quantity of matter. Af hochanami, so too in the case of the shrotzim, ad diiko kazayas. Then that there would be no violation unless you have an olive quantity of substance, which we know is not the case. We know in the case of shrotzim, the violation is even if you have an adosha size. Adosha is sometimes translated as a lentil, but for our purposes, it's a quantity smaller than a kezias. So had the Torah taught me the halacha concerning liquids, from by the case of chelev, chometz, and nevela, I would not have known the halacha concerning shrotzim. I would have thought that the shrotzim is treated or considered in violation when one consumes an olive quantity and not if he were to consume less. When in truth, even if he consumes less, in the case of shrotzim, he is also considered in violation. The Gemara asks now, it flips around the question at the top of Kuf Chofam et Beis, v'lichtoiv rachmona b'shrotzim v'leisu hanoch v'ligmaru minayu. Let the Torah write that the liquefied shrotzim, or the liquids from the shrotzim, generate violation, and let me derive the others from it. There is a note on the side that indicates that really the question is, and let me derive nevela from shrotzim. The Gemara answers, mishum de'iko lemifrach. I could not derive nevela from shrotzim because ma l'shrotzim shekein tumason b'mashehu. The shrotzim have an aspect of severity to them that we do not find by nevela, and that is that they generate tumah with a very small quantity. which with what's called here a mashihu, which is a adosha, as opposed to nevelas oftar, which generates tuma only if you have a kezias quantity. So we know that nevelas oftar is a more lenient area. So if I had told you that the liquid of shrutzim generates is also considered like the original, that may have been limited to shrutzim because of this severe aspect that they have in terms of quantity of tumah generation, as opposed to the of nevelas oftar, which is a more lenient area insofar as that it requires a greater amount in order for tumah to get started. Maybe in its liquefied form, it wouldn't generate tumah. Therefore, by staining shrutzim alone, I wouldn't have been able to derive nevela, and therefore there is a necessity of staining both shrutzim and nevela. The Hodesanya. Now we have another source that features five different items, and the result, or the common point of these five items, is that the liquid that comes forth from them is as the original item itself. Hatevel. Tevel is a reference to produce that has not been tithed. The truma tithe, for example, has not been removed from it. The hachodosh. Chodosh is a reference to grains that have grown during the year prior to the month of, prior to the 16th of Nisan, the time at which the Omer offering in the time of the Beis HaMikdash would have been brought. That Omer offering, or in the nowadays when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, the date is of significance, that prior to the 16th of Nisan, the new grains are considered forbidden, and that's called Chodosh. V'ha-Hekdish. Hekdish is a reference to items that have been dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. V'ha-Shvias. Seventh year produce from the sabbatical year. V'ha-kilayim. Kilayim, in this case, is a reference to kilei kerem, for example, grains that are grown in a vineyard, a wine vineyard, a grape vineyard. Kulan, regarding all of these items, mashkin ha-yotzin mehen kemosan, the liquids that come forth from them will have the same legal status as the original item itself. Minolon, from where do I know this? So, v'chitemo ligmar mehanoch, and if you want to suggest, let me learn it from the topics we had before. For example, chelev, chometz, and nevela. Just like we saw there that those items in liquefied form are treated as the original, so too these. No, ma lahanoch shekein isur habo me'elov havu. Those are different. Chelev, chometz, and nevela are things that are inherently forbidden. Let us skip the half line in brackets momentarily. Hecha delav isur abo me'elov minolon. Let us take hekdish. Hekdish, something that has been sanctified, that's not something that was inherently forbidden. In the case of hekdish, you have something that was of common allowance. A person decided to dedicate it on his own. He decided to dedicate it and sanctify it. That's different than the case of chelev, chometz, and nevela, which were inherently prohibited. This, in the case of hekdesh, it's an item that became prohibited as a result of my imposing upon it a forbidden status by sanctifying it. So I wouldn't know that the liquid coming from some item that was sanctified would also have the original status of that item, the hekdish item. Let's reread this Gemara with the bracketed section. We mentioned that how can I learn from chelev, chometz, and nevela, shekein isur habo me'elov havu. The Gemara goes on in the brackets, Tena Hecha de Isur Bomelov. The items in the list of five that we had in the Tanaic source, in fact, most of them were similar. Tevel, Chodosh, Shvias, and Kilayim are items that I did not impose the prohibition on. They developed as prohibited. They developed in their natural growth as that, as any one of those four things. However, Hecha Delo, Delav Isur Habo Me'elov, we had one item in the list, namely Hekdish, which was not an Isur Habo Me'elov, but rather it was a self-imposed prohibition. Menolan, how would I know that that the liquid that issues forth from an item that was sanctified would be viewed as the original sanctified item? Answer: Gamrinon mi bikurim. I would learn it from bikurim. Bikurim, which is translated as the first fruits, these are fruits that develop early in the season in a person's field. A person separates them, and hence he's, in order for bikurim to gain their forbidden status, bikurim are the fruits that eventually are brought to the Beis HaMikdash and presented to the Kohen as a gift to the Kohanim. Others are not allowed to eat the bikurim. It's something only allowed by Kohanim. Bikurim gain their prohibition by my imposing upon them their bikurim status, by my separating them as bikurim. Hence, bikurim are like hegdish, and for the moment, we are working with a given that the liquefied bikurim are treated as bikurim. And being that that's the case, so liquefied hegdish will also be treated as the original hegdish item, and hence forbidden. Before going on, we have a structural note to deal with. We see triangles that appear, and the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have written, we see a triangle featured, and we've written Mekoros Hamuvoyim. We will see sources brought along the way. Lahochiach de Mashkin Hayotzin Midvorim She'en Isurin Bomei Alem Kagon Hegdish Kayotze Bohem. Liquids coming from items that gained their prohibited status only by my imposing it upon them, those liquids are viewed as the original item that I imposed prohibition upon. So we're right now dealing with the issue of the liquefied hegdish. The source for its prohibition is at this point learned from bikurim. You'll notice in the Gemara we have a bracketed section, and there's a bracket length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, a vertical dash dotted line. If you looked at the end of that line, you'll notice in the Gemara text we pick up Iko Lemifrach. If you want me to learn hektish from bikurim, we can challenge that by saying Mala bikurim shikein teunin kriyo v'hanocha. In the bikurim bringing process, there are additional features that bikurim has that you do not find by hektish. Bikurim are the fruits, those first fruits that are brought to the Beis HaMikdash, eventually presented to the Kohen. However, prior to that, there is a Torah portion that's read. It's known as Mikra Bikurim, Arami Oyved Avi. It's the psukim that you find in the Haggadah of Pesach. That's the Kriya, and we also have them Hanocha. They're placed on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash near the Mizbeach, and only then afterwards they're given to the Kohen. So Bikurim have a feature of these features, Kriya and Hanocha, which you do not find by Hegdish. Therefore, even if you tell me that bikurim in a liquefied form have the original status of bikurim and forbidden in their liquefied form to commoners, just like the bikurim fruits themselves, that's fine and good by bikurim, but I wouldn't be able to derive hegdish from that. Let's go back over the bracketed section. What takes place in the brackets is the Gemara reveals the source for bikurim themselves, that in their liquefied form, they are forbidden as original bikurim fruits themselves. The Gemara says, in the brackets, we're now reading back there, the beginning of the brackets, bikurim gufayim and olan, the bikurim fruits themselves, in liquefied form, how do we know, what's the source for the liquid of bikurim being viewed as original bikurim? And we mentioned that bikurim fruits themselves are presented to Kohanim and are forbidden for non-Kohanim to eat. This Ditoni Rabbiosi. Rabbiosi teaches the following source. Pri. The word pri is a quote from the Pasuk, which says, Meiresh is called pri. Pri atomevi, vi atomevi mashke. As far as bikurim are concerned, one is expected to bring fruits, to separate fruits as bikurim and not separate juices or beverages as bikurim. Hevi anovim vidorchon minayin. Let us say a person set aside grapes as bikurim. So we have bikurim fruits. He then dorchon, he pressed them, and now it's liquefied. Minayin, from where do we know that these liquefied grapes would also have a bikurim status? Talmud Lomar, tovi. Rashi points out the word tovi is extra. It could have, the pasuk it says asher tovi me'artzecha, it could have just as well said asher me'artzecha, the fruits from your land. Why does the Torah use the word tovi? It's an extra word, and it's an allusion to not only the fruits themselves that were set aside as bikurim are considered bikurim, but the liquids that issue forth from fruits that were set aside as bikurim as well. So we see a source here for the liquid that issues forth from bikurim having bikurim status. The Gemara continues, Iko lemifrach, but if you're going to try to learn hektish from bikurim, we can challenge that with the following. Ma'ala bikurim, shekein tunim kriya v'anocha. Bikurim have additional procedures and characteristics that you do not find by hektish, and therefore it's not necessarily so that hektish would follow from bikurim. Elo gomar mitruma. Rather, we will try to say, this is our second attempt. You can see we're keeping a track of the attempts on the side of the Gemara to the immediate right-hand side, and we see numbers indicating the different stages. This is attempt number two. Let us derive hegdish, namely liquefied hegdish, from the din of liquefied truma. It's also worth noting that truma is similar to hegdish in the sense that truma is not an iser haba me'ilov, it's not an automatic iser, it's something, the truma status is a result of my tithing the fruits and setting them aside and declaring them as truma. We once again have a bracketed section to make the flow of the Gemara easier. After the brackets, we say, well, you can't really learn from truma, ma'ala truma shekein chayevim la misa v'choymesh. If one, a non-Kohen, were to eat truma, he's guilty, if he does it knowingly, he's guilty of death at the hands of heaven. And he is guilty in the case that he eats it, of compensating the Kohen by paying the principal plus a fifth. That's the chomesh. These aspects of misa v'chomesh you do not find by hektish. So it could be that only by truma will we say the liquefied form will have the same characteristics as the original fruits, as opposed to liquefied hektish. Now, going back over the Gemara with the brackets, within the brackets, just like we saw before here, the Gemara reveals the source that liquefied truma is considered truma. The utruma gufa minola, truma itself, from where do I know that it is considered like the truma fruits? Answer, de iskish le bikurim. Truma is compared to bikurim. De omamar, the pasuk says, utrumas yodcha elu bikurim. By the fact that bikurim are termed by the Torah using the word truma, I understand that the Torah wants me to compare truma to bikurim. And just like we established before that bikurim in their liquefied form have the din of bikurim, so too truma, by virtue of this comparison, by virtue of the fact that bikurim are termed truma, I understand that truma will have the same din. Nevertheless, in our attempt to reveal hektish, liquefied hektish, I will not be able to do it from truma, from the comparison to truma. Ma'ala truma shekein chayovim olea misa v'choymesh. Truma has this additional feature or stringency in that it generates a misa and chomesh penalty, which you do not find by hegdish. Well, elo gomar mitravayu. Let us try to learn hegdish, liquefied hegdish, from mitruma ubikurim. The Gemara rejects this. Ma litruma bikurim. Once again, I cannot learn hegdish, liquefied hegdish, from liquefied truma bikurim. Shekein chayovim alea misa v'chomesh. Both truma and bikurim, we didn't mention this before, but bikurim also carry with it a penalty for a non-Kohen who consumes them, the penalty of misa v'choymesh. Ela, well, how am I going to learn liquefied hekdesh, elo asio mitrumo v'chad mehanoch, oy mibikurim v'chad mehanoch. What we can do, we can tell you that truma, and we had a list of things above, like tevel, chodosh, hekdesh, shvius, and kilayim. So take one of those things, chometz, and let us say Rashi uses an example. Take truma and nevela. We know by truma and by nevela that in their liquefied form they are treated as the original. So too, hegdish in its liquefied form shall be treated as the original. Rashi goes through how this limud would take place, but for our purposes, we'll just say that by combining truma and one of the above things, for example, nevela, or taking bikurim and nevela, and saying that they, bikurim and nevela, in their liquefied form, have the carry with it the same status as in their original form, so too we will say by hegdish. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a gimel in a house form. Once again, another source that features liquids that come forth from original products. In this case, we also have a topic heading in the outside margin. Under our no say heading, we have written a machlokes, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, b'mashkin hayotze miperos shel truma, liquids that issue forth from truma fruits, items that were set aside as truma. Haim hamashkin nami dinam ketruma, will the mashkin that come forth from the truma fruits be viewed as truma itself? Now, he'ora, we have a point that we want to make, a point of information that will be helpful. Hafroshas truma mimashkin atzmom, the idea of setting aside truma from a beverage. V'lo shiyotsu miperos truma, and not, and as far as this is concerned, not a reference to liquids that come from fruits that were set aside as truma, but rather being mafrish truma, the truma tithe from a beverage, shayech rak biyayin v'shemen. That is it's a phenomenon that you find only by wine and oil. In other words, if a person had some grapes and olives, which he made no, he did not tithe the grapes nor the olives, but rather first processed them into wine and shemen, and then after he processed them into wine and shemen, then tithed the liquid, tithed from the liquid, the wine or the oil, he tithed truma. So this idea of tithing a beverage, tithing, it's an initial tithing of a beverage, is shayach only by wine and oil. V'lo mimashkin shiyotsu me'atzma v'acha korom truma, and not by other mashkin that came out on them on their own and then dedicated them as truma. In other words, if a person, let's say, took some, he had some dates and processed the dates into honey, and then tithed the honey as truma, so that would not become truma. Tithing is done only from the original fruit, not from the liquid that issues forth from it. The Gemara, the Hodisnan, Dvash Tmorim, V'yayin Tapuchin, V'chometz Sisvonios, Ushar Mine Peros, Shel Truma, and other fruits that were tithed as Truma, other than grapes and olives. So in this list we see honey from dates, wine from apples, and vinegar from sisvonios. Sisvonios are a type of grape that does not, it doesn't ripen, it doesn't develop to the level at which you can make wine from it, but what you can do with these types of sisfonios, these is make them into vinegar. So we have a list of liquids, if you will, that come from tamarim, tapuchim, and sisfonios that were tithed. The fruits were tithed as truma. So we have, let's say, truma dates. Just citing one example for the sake of simplicity. Truma dates. And now the truma dates produced honey. Rabbi Lezer Mechayev Karen V'Chaymesh. Rabbi Lezer views the honey from the truma dates as if they were the original dates. And therefore, if a non-Kohen would eat the honey, consume the honey, these liquids, the honey just one of the three examples here, consume the honey or the wine from the apples or the vinegar from the sisvanios, it would be as if he consumed the original fruits as well. As if they were the original fruits, and hence generating the obligation of paying not only the Karen, the principal, but also adding a fifth. Rabbi Yeshua Poter. Rabbi Yeshua exempts. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua does not view the liquid that oozed forth from these, or that was produced from these truma fruits, as if it was truma. Bemai Pligi. What's the underlying point of difference between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua? Answer, Bedon Mino Mino, that's one school of thought, Ubedon Mino V'Uki Be'asra, which is another school of thought, Komifudi. These are two expressions, Don Mino Mino, versus Don Mino V'Uki Be'asra, that we can offer an explanation, but we know ahead of time before even offering our explanation, it will be hard to understand until you are exposed to actual examples, which the Gemara will explain and describe. However, in the meantime, we will try to explain this before the examples. We are dealing with trying to figure out the unknown from known. In other words, there's unknown information that I am going to try to figure out by comparing the topic of the unknown to a known topic, which would serve as a precedent. When I try to figure out that which is unknown, there may be several stages, in this case two stages, of information that I need to derive. So in using a form of notation, we'll say, I'm trying to derive information concerning topic B from topic A. With regard to the realm of topic B, some of the information in topic B is known, but there's also that which I'm trying to discover, namely the unknown. So when trying to discover the unknown in topic B, I turn to topic A, and I try to determine the unknown from topic A. How much information do I draw from topic A? Do I draw both points, or do I draw only one point from topic A, and for the other point that I need to know, I derive that from topic B itself, which is the realm that also has the unknown in it? I understand that explanation is a bit vague, if not completely vague, but as we go on in the Gemara, our hope is that it will become clear. The Rebbe Lezer Sovar, Rebbe Lezer's approach in this kind of activity of discovering the unknown, he feels Sovar Don Mina Umina. I am to derive all of my information from the original source. In other words, we mentioned that topic B contains within it some unknown information. I will derive topic B completely from topic A. Now, in this case, our unknown concerns truma, specifically liquids that issue forth from truma fruits, from fruits tithed as truma. what does Rabbi Elazar do? He says, I will try to discover how to deal with the liquids that issue forth from the truma fruits from the way I deal with liquids in the case of Bikurim. The Gemara explains. And bearing in mind, we're now going to demonstrate how don, mino, umino will work. Ma bikurim mashkin hayotze mehen kamosan. Af trumanami mashkin hayotze mehen kamosan. Just like in the case of bikurim, we learned above from the pasuk. We learned from the pasuk that we saw above in a bracketed section of Gemara from the word tavi. I know that liquids that issue forth from bikurim fruits. Now, it must be pointed out, bikurim is a realm that concerns all seven varieties of produce that the land of Israel was blessed with. So we know that liquid that comes forth from bikurim fruits is treated as if they were bikurim themselves, and hence the liquids would be forbidden to non-kohanim. Trumanami mashkin hayotze mehen kamosan. So too, truma, the liquids that come forth from truma fruits will be like the truma itself. Umina, and furthermore, further information, I will discover by truma from comparing it to bikurim, ma bikurim, afilu shar minim, just like by bikurim, even the other varieties other than the grapes and olives, in other words, in addition to grapes and olives, we say the liquids are viewed as the original. That is true by the case of bikurim, and everyone agrees with that. Af trumonami afilu shar minim. Now, this is the point of controversy. So too, with regard to truma, Rabbi Eliezer is going to tell you that in addition to olives and grapes, all other truma tithed fruits, the liquids that issue forth from them will be viewed as the original truma fruit. And hence, the liquids that come forth from, for example, dates, pomegranates, etc., will be forbidden to non-kohanim. For Yeshua, Savar Yeshua, who was more limited, more lenient, we'll say, Savar, Don, Mino, stage one is Don, Mino, and a couple of lines later, the end of the next line, seen for Uki Beasra. And it's that point, the Uki Beasra, you can see we've squiggle underlined it. This is in contrast with the way Rabbi Eliezer dealt with the topic, where you see it just above, you see we squiggle line Umina. In other words, it's the second stage of derivation that they part ways. So now, let's see how Rabbi Yeshua operates. Let's read this again. We read the underlined Rabbi Yeshua, Savar, Don, Mina. So this is the first stage, and this is the same as Rabbi Lezer's first stage. Ma bikurim mashkin yotzim em kamosan. Just like in the case of bikurim, the liquids that issue forth from bikurim fruits are treated as original bikurim fruits themselves. Af truma mashkin yotzim em kamosan. So too in the case of the liquids that issue forth from the truma fruits that were tithed as truma, the liquid is also viewed as truma. V'uki ba'asra. However, with regard to which liquids are treated as original fruits, with regard to this, we determine that from looking at the topic of truma itself. Ma mashkin de kochim betruma tirosh v'yitzar in midiachrino lo. In the realm of truma, if you come to make your initial tithe from a beverage, and this is what we mentioned in our note before learning the sugya, this concept or this phenomenon of making an initial tithe from a beverage, that is binding only in the case of tirosh, wine, yitzar is oil. So in the realm of truma, if one tithes a previously untithed beverage, meaning the fruits were not tithed, and I'm now making my initial truma tithe from beverage, it works only, it takes hold, it becomes truma only in the case of wine and oil. Af mashkin hayoitzin mehen kamoison. So too, when you're talking about beverages that issue forth from fruits that themselves were declared as truma, and then expect the liquid to be treated as the original, this will be true only with tirosh v'yitzurim yidei achrino lo, only with regard to the wine and oil that issues forth from grapes and olives that were previously tithed as truma, as opposed to, let us say, honey that issues forth from dates that were previously tithed as truma. There, Rabbi Yeshua will tell you that such honey will not gain a truma status. This discussion then is revolving around, let's say the point of argument is revolving around a very, very specific, a very fine point. Just to summarize and review, the main point is, how does one view the liquids that issue forth from truma fruits tithed as truma, and now the liquids that come forth from them, other than grapes and olives, other than wine and oil, what will the status be of the liquids that come from the other varieties? Will they have a truma status, just like the fruits from which they came, or not? Rabbi Elazar will say yes, and Rabbi Yoshua, more lenient, will say no. V'hal disnan. Notice we have a house with a little dalet in it to the immediate right-hand side of Gemara, another source, a fourth source dealing with the issue of liquids coming forth from original products. It says in this source, Ein mevien bikurim mashke ela hayoitze min hazeisim u'min ha'anovim. If one wants to bring as bikurim a beverage, in other words, we're not dealing with fruits that were initially dedicated, very similar to the topic we just finished discussing, but you're dealing with someone setting aside a beverage and declaring it bikurim, this source is saying that that cannot be done unless you're dealing with olives. You're dealing with, let us say, the liquid that comes forth from olives and grapes. Now, let us try to emphasize, we're not dealing with olives and grapes that were dedicated as bikurim, but rather we're dealing with grapes and olives, and now liquid came forth from them, and I want to declare the liquid as bikurim. And we're saying that it will take hold, it will become bikurim, only if you're dealing with liquid that came forth from olives and grapes, and not with regard to, let's say, liquid that came forth from pomegranates or dates. So money, who would the author of this source be? This source, which we can say reflects a very limited approach. Answer, Rabbi Yeshua he. This source reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, the Omar, who said in the previous discussion concerning beverages issuing forth from truma products, who said, Don mino v'uki v'asra. That was the approach that we finished discussing and describing above. The Gomar Lahu Lebikurim Mitruma. And Rabbi Yeshua will say that as far as Bikurim is concerned, namely fruits, or namely my desire to declare an initial Bikurim status on a beverage, I will learn that from the Dinim of Truma. And just like in the case of Truma, an initial truma dedication on a beverage takes hold only with regard to zeisim and anovim, so too with regard to bikurim, an initial bikurim declaration on a beverage will take hold only with regard to the beverage that comes forth from, the liquid that comes forth from zeisim and anovim. V'ha disnan, the following source that says, Ein soifkin esarboim, it's an expression for the penalty of lashing. And we're talking about beverages that come forth from orla fruits. Orla
are fruits that develop on trees during the first 3 years of the tree's life. Those fruits are called orla, and they're forbidden. They're forbidden from what to eat and even to benefit from. In this case, we're going to talk about liquids that come forth from orla fruits. It says, "Ein sofinus harboy mishum orla el al yotzim min azesim umin anovim." The lashing penalty for consuming beverage from orla fruits will apply only if one consumes the liquid that issues forth from zesim and anovim. Not, for example, from the liquid that issues forth from a pomegranate that itself may have been orla. So if we focus on that example, imagine you have a pomegranate coming from a pomegranate tree in its second year of life. Now, the pomegranate is clearly forbidden. What would the halacha be concerning the juice that issues forth from the orla pomegranate? Well, according to this source, it won't carry with it a penalty of lashing. In other words, we're not viewing the pomegranate juice that comes from the orla tree as the pomegranate itself. Well, money. Who will have this limited approach, limiting the penalty to the beverages that come forth from Zesim and Anovim Orla as opposed to all others? Rabbi Yeshua, this conforms to Rabbi Yeshua's approach, the Omar, Don Mino Viuki Basra, who presented his approach above to the issue concerning beverages coming forth from dedication of beverages as Truma, and deriving that halacha from Bikurim in the Don Minov Uki Biasra fashion, the Gomar Lahu Lebikurim Mitruma. And as we saw just in the stage just before this, when you were dealing with dedicating beverages initially as Bikurim, he, Rabbi Yeshua, learned that it takes hold, like in the case of Truma, only on the beverages declared as Truma, and that takes hold only by Zesim and Anovim, just for the sake of repetition. And he learned that he learned Bikurim from Truma, limiting it to the liquids coming from Zesim and Anovim. And now at the very top line of Kuf Chof Aleph Omer Aleph, the Hodar Maisi Law La Or Law. And he then will derive the halacha concerning orla pre mibikurim, using a gzeirah shava, a word comparison between the topic of bikurim and our current topic, that of orla. And just like bikurim, which was determined from truma and limiting it to the beverages coming forth from grapes and olives, so too the case by orla, as was reflected in the source at the bottom of Kuf Chof Amud Beis. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.